Let's begin now.
Fun tonight. 7 o'clock Thursday night, after hours, Dusty Likens, Julio Sanchez. Give it to me, Julio.
I was waiting for that one.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, the waiting is the hardest part, according to Tom Petty.
He's a genius, you know?
Wait, I'm doing something! 55 cheeseburgers, 55 shakes, 55 fries, 55 tater tots, 55 100 coffees, 100 drinks.
All right.
Yeah.
That's how we're starting the show, huh?
Yeah, dude. Okay. So leap day, right? That's what we're at today. So it's a fake day. Doesn't exist. Three other years, every fourth year, right? Is that how they do this?
Yes, it exists. We're here.
Did you do anything crazy on leap day? Did you think anything liptacular? Anything liptastic?
I don't really know what that means.
I don't either, but I made it up.
Sounds intriguing. I did not. No.
Okay.
You know, it's just another day today.
Good.
Can you imagine having your birthday today, though?
What do you do? Is it either March 1st or February 28th?
I mean, it only comes around, what, once every 4 years?
That'd be awesome.
Right?
Yeah.
Would it, though? Because really, you still age at a normal pace. You're just...
You just don't have a birthday?
I get. I mean, you do every 4 years.
You know how many parents are probably just Richards to their kids? Like, sorry, man.
Yeah. Got the short end of the stick on that one.
Yeah, dude.
You know? I mean, it'd be good if you're a parent, I guess. No, I guess you could pick, right?
Sure.
You get your choice.
Yeah.
Not a bad deal, I guess, you know?
No. Is, where are you at in sports right now? Like, where's your attention? Is it still football?
Yeah, man. I mean, at this point, with where the NFL's at, it's kind of a year-round thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, especially, right, being a Chiefs fan, going so deep in the playoffs, Super Bowl, I mean, it'd be a different story. You know, you don't make the playoffs or, you know, you don't go very deep into the playoffs. I think that's a bit of a different story, but we're in the glory years of Chiefs football, so this is a year-round thing.
Mm. Happy birthday to my great-grandmother. She would have been like 21 or something.
Happy birthday, Grandma. Great-grandma.
Yeah. Do you have any great-grandparents left?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I don't have any grandparents left.
I have two.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Hold on tight, man. Hold on tight.
It's her parents.
There you go.
Yeah, sweethearts, they are. I can guarantee you that. Yeah, I don't know. Leap day, leap year, leap whatever. I don't. It's just such
leap
a weird.
Frog.
There's a few things that we do awkwardly, weirdly in the United States. Daylight savings time.
Hate it.
Leap year.
Nah.
Whatever.
Makes no difference to
those
me.
Those are two. I thought I was going to have a lot more that would just come to my brain that didn't.
Yeah, I can't think of any either. You know?
Today's but like, imagine like, imagine going to like a different country and be like, so like twice a year, we change our clocks and we either add an hour or lose an hour. Why do you do that? Good question.
Oh, you know, for the farmers back in 1925.
I don't think that's the real reason.
I believe that is the reason.
I think that's like an old wives' tale.
Then what's the reason?
I don't know. To confuse society?
I don't think that was instituted just to confuse people.
Mm.
I think it was legit for farmers. But it's a different day and age.
The text line always knows.
Yeah, let us know, text line.
They will. 913-586-7610.
It's known to happen.
Are you, I did start a new documentary last night.
Okay.
Called like The Octopus Murders.
Sounds intriguing. Maybe a little dirty. Okay.
No, not dirty.
Okay.
Not dirty. No, it's about this guy that, he basically got into like computer software and then started finding all of this like weird stuff involved, like the CSI or the CIA, the FBI, the, National, a bunch of stuff, and is like found dead in a bathtub.
So we're talking conspiracy theory here is what we're doing.
Crime documentary conspiracy-ish stuff.
And how does it tie into an octopus?
because that's what he called it, because there were so many different like legs and everything that he basically made it like this giant like web design, and he just called it like the Octopus Files.
Okay.
Pretty good.
Are you a conspiracy theorist?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
No, like not it, at all.
You
know? No. Leap years are a worldwide thing. The farmers during the war is the real reason for daylight savings time.
You're welcome.
It takes 365.25 days for the Earth to get around the sun. How'd you like that for a quick lesson?
You know, I don't math well, so sure.
If you could go to any planet, what planet would you go to?
Uranus.
All right, so we'll start the show off tonight with local debate. Yeah. I didn't know you were there tonight, Julio, but it sounds like you are there.
I'm always there, Dusty. I'm always there. You know, I got to be on my toes.
Sometimes. It was funny. James did the show on Friday night. Quite hilarious. I was like, man, Fridays get a little weird. I was like, I'm not going to lie to you. Thursday's a little dip into the stories. I was like, but Friday, man, it gets real weird about 7:30.
Fully off the rails.
And James just kind of like quiet, nice, humble guy. And he's like, all right, man, all right. And then all of a sudden it was like a whole text of just people losing their V card.
That took a turn I didn't expect.
Exactly. Welcome to Friday nights. But this is Thursday night. I do want to have a quick debate to start the show off with you. And that debate is Jones versus Snead. Because that's where we're at with Chiefs football, man. That's where we're at with conversations throughout the kind of the off season of Kansas City Chiefs football. And this was James Palmer and the latest on Chris Jones.
I had a conversation with Brett Veach yesterday where he told me he does think of it as somewhat of a positive the way they went through negotiations a year ago. Because I asked him, is that going to hinder these negotiations? They didn't work something out, or is it helping you in a sense? Well, he said, well, we actually have some familiarity about the groundwork that we want to work from. And at the end of those negotiations, when it didn't really come to fruition, they kind of knew really specifically where they stood. And I think in Veach's mind, that helps him out a little bit. They wanted to make sure the key portions of these meetings with both of their reps, with Legarius Sneed and Chris Jones, happened over these 2 days. They should be finished up by today, and they'll continue to have those. But I found that be an interesting spot, Mike, about how things didn't finish on the right end of things, but they do think that could have maybe helped this next time.
So the debate that we have tonight is, do you think this team is better without Chris Jones or without Legarius Sneed? I also think that there is a debate to be had that there is one guy where the narrative would fit to sign with the Chiefs, where the other one doesn't quite seem to fit. And I think that it's tough to hear these sort of things because a lot of people are in love with what had just happened. This team has won back-to-back Super Bowls. This team was very, very good. This defense was insanely amazing. It allowed the second fewest points on the year. It won a Super Bowl riding the backs and the support of this defense, there's no doubt about that whatsoever, plus your quarterback who is also a stud. But the thing about this is, I think this team is better with Chris Jones than without Legarius Sneed. Hear me out. This team won a Super Bowl with three rookie cornerbacks. Yes, Legarius Sneed was on that team. And in that year, Legarius Sneed only allowed 5 touchdowns to wide receivers. That's insane. But that team that had 3 rookie wide receivers also had Chris Jones. And I'm not trying to say that one position is better than the other or is tougher than the other. What I'm simply saying is I think this team is better with Chris Jones than with Legarius Sneed. I think Legarius Sneed is, if not the best, a top 3 corner in the league. And I think Trent McDuffie's in there as well. I think Sauce Gardner's great. I think Pat Surtain Jr.'s good. I think Jalen Ramsey is good, but maybe a slight bit overrated. And then I think there's Trent McDuffie and Legarius Sneed for your top 5 cornerbacks in football, and I'm not even kidding. But I think this team is a little bit better with Chris Jones, and I'll say this, and this is why. Chris Jones is up front and helps everybody else allow pressure to get to the quarterback. And when the quarterback has to make a split decision, it makes life a little easier on the corners. Whereas if you don't have pressure and those corners have to tail those wide receivers a little bit longer or slightly longer, that gives the receiver that much more of an advantage to get open. Simplicity at its finest. And I think that this team can still be. Now, they won't be as great in the secondary as maybe they were this year because they wouldn't have L'Jarius Sneed, obviously. But this team is, I think, better for its type of defense with someone like Chris Jones to stick around for another 2 years to give you a chance at a three-peat. I think you could win a three-peat without L'Jarius Sneed. I'm not sure you can win one without Chris Jones. Now, where you look at the contract of both of these men, L'Jarius Sneed is much younger than Chris Jones, and Chris Jones really wants to be paid respectfully and probably has two solid years left at his position to continue to help this off this defensive line. And looking at what we've seen in reports, four-year deal, you're looking at maybe a three-year deal with a fourth-year option and a little bit of money. And you have the $30 million extended to the cap this year to kind of help with that. The other reason why I think L'Jarius Sneed is on his way out, and I think a lot of people can start to feel that vibe as well, and maybe I'm wrong, and if I am, we'll go back to February 29th someday in the future and play this entire bit again, and we can all laugh and scoff at Dusty Likens, and I'm totally fine with that. I would love to be wrong about this situation, that maybe they're both coming back, but I think we can both agree, or we can all agree, that they're not bringing all these guys back. Tough love in this business, but this is what makes teams great and continuing to be great. Tough decisions that are financially and talent-wise best for the team. And this is not a knock on L'Jarius Sneed. I think the world of L'Jarius Sneed with his talents in the NFL. But L'Jarius Sneed is a two-time Super Bowl winner already. L'Jarius Sneed has identified himself as one of the top three corners in football. And right now, in the free agency market, where he sits, there are 9 to 15 teams in the NFL whose priority number one or number two is signing a cornerback. Because the way that the NFL has evolved, it is a pass-heavy league. It is a wide receiver one league now. And a lot of teams saw what the Chiefs did when they had L'Jarius Sneed and Trent McDuffie. Right? Like, let's not forget this team still has Watson, Williams, and McDuffie and a chance to draft more corners where, in fact, your GM who is in charge of all of that has been quite the guru drafting corners. And yes, it's tough to see an should have been all-pro corner, shutdown corner, and a key piece to your team that won a title go somewhere else. But teams need that because teams don't want wide receivers running all over the field on them. The Chiefs were lucky enough to have two, what I should think, all-pro, all-world corners on their field at the same time. Some teams, and most teams, don't have one. So the Chiefs were a little bit more rich than other teams. And L'Jarius Sneed is a two-time Super Bowl champion under the age of 30. And I would think that the main step in the main next goal for L'Jarius Sneed is give me the bag. And there's never been a year in the NFL, because the times are different, where a cornerback has had a market like a L'Jarius Sneed. And when you're one of the top corners in the league, guess what, Daddy? You're going to set it, you're going to get it, and you're going to be one of the first to get it. Hence the whole setting the market. And that's, I think, what L'Jarius Sneed should look at. Like, we all know that Chris Jones is part of the core. You heard the parade comments. You've seen him in commercials with Travis Kelce. He's always kind of been the third voice. It's been Mahomes, Kelce, and then Jones. Right? We can all agree to that. He wants, I think, to stay here and finish his career here as long as he can get paid the way he thinks he should get paid, which he did everything this year to do that.
Does he?
I think so.
Does he?
I think last year
would say otherwise.
That's fair, but his dominance in that Super Bowl, I mean, he made the play that made Brock Purdy throw it early. Did he not?
I mean,
in the Super Bowl.
He did.
Right? He got Burrow in last year's AFC Championship game, and so did Carl Loftus when it mattered. Now, L'Jarius Sneed, he knocked the ball out of Zay Flowers' hands. I'm not going to take that away from him. I can't just pick up plays because they've had enough. But Chris Jones makes Carl Loftus better. He makes maybe a Felix Nduke Uzomah, a rookie this year, makes him better, grows that off of that defensive line. Whereas Trent McDuffie, I think, is ready to be the main dude on this team. And you have the other two that are young as well. I don't know if, and maybe you can go find somebody that has that much presence in the draft immediately that can help stop run and pass alongside Chris Jones. No. Whereas I know for a fact, because I've seen it multiple times, Brett Veach can find that corner in the draft.
Defensive end is one of those positions that takes a couple years to develop. I mean, unless you're drafting in the top 5 to 10 and you're getting that exceptional player, it's hard to draft a defensive end, defensive lineman, and them come in and have an immediate impact. It just is not typical.
Like, Karloftis got hot towards the end of his rookie year. Then he made the jump this year. You would assume next year he makes the jump as well.
Correct. But we have shown a propensity, as far as the Chiefs developing cornerbacks, that they can draft in the later rounds and have a cornerback make an impact. Like, they have shown a propensity to develop good cornerbacks either by drafting or by signing free agents and fitting them into the system, right, and developing that way. Not to mention, right, we have a lot more depth at the cornerback position than we do at if Chris Jones leaves. I mean, who else are you going to sign as a free agent, come in, and have the same impact that Chris Jones has? I mean,
and if you're going to sign a free agent and you want someone to have the impact you might as well have Chris Jones.
You're going to have to pay either way, you know? I don't know that this is an argument.
No, I mean, that's why it's a debate or an aggressive conversation.
I don't like that you're giving me an ultimatum because I think we could potentially sign both.
Not a chance. Not a chance. Greedy. I don't know. It's the perfect time for Snead to test the market, and I have no issues with that.
Man, he's at the top of his game. Next 2-3 years is going to be his peak. He's got to strike while the iron's hot.
And you know corners can regress very quickly.
Yep.
Right? Yep. We knew when it was over Champ Bailey. We knew when it was over Ty Law and Pat Surtain Sr. We knew when it was over for Darrell Revis. That was in Kansas City when the football went off his face, right into Mariota's hands, and he walked in for a touchdown. Mm-hmm. Sorry to bring up bad memories.
Bad.
But we knew when it was over for corners, and it happens quick. They got about a 3 to 5 year window to get their money, and this is the 1 year where L'Jarius needs it to the top of that free agency and can make that checkbook for anything he wants because somebody's going to pay him.
Yeah, but look, I think the one bright spot here is the one reason for him to come back is that three-peat, man. You're looking at a once in a lifetime opportunity. You franchise tag him, he can hit that open market next year.
If Jones comes back, he gets his fourth possibly.
It's true. Yeah, I got to see it before I believe it, though.
I don't know.
He talks the talk. I want to see him walk the
walk. We'll see what happens. I mean, the way he and Andy celebrate at the end of that Super Bowl, it made me think that.
I know, man.
You know, don't get lost in the moment,
it was
right?
Same thing last year.
All right. Well, let's move on from Jones and Snead and let's talk wide receivers because there's a lot of moving parts when it comes to free agent wide receivers. And I have a strategy. We always talk about how we use the New England tactic of being good. You remember when New England had two tight ends and they just ran their offense through it? I think the Chiefs can do that, but not with tight end, but with wide receiver, too. I'll explain on the other side. You're listening after hours. It's Julio Sanchez. I'm Dusty Likens, and this is 610 Sports Radio.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
Yo. I go by the name of Pharrell from the Neptunes. And I just want to let y'all know,
I'm your pusher.
The world is about to feel something that they never felt before.
From ghetto to ghetto, the backyard to yard, I sell it whip on whip.
Back here on After Hours on a Thursday night. Already battling the clock, that's always tough. I'm like Andy Reid in the first 2 years of the Chiefs. But that's all right.
Unnecessary shot.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean anything anymore because he got past that. He knew more about time management than anybody else did.
Was it him not knowing time management, or was it not having Patrick Mahomes? No.
Maybe that. I mean, he knew about the clock before the end of the game and the Super Bowl when everybody else is in their kitchen at their friend's house calling timeout.
Now he's a genius, right?
I think so.
Amazing what having a quarterback of that caliber can do for you.
We found out yesterday that the Indianapolis Colts plan on putting a franchise tag, if they haven't already, on Michael Pittman Jr., the Cincinnati Bengals have put it on T. Higgins. the Chiefs are going to put it on L'Jarius Sneed. I think all that will be official next Tuesday. From the 816, Dusty, football games were won in the battle in the trenches, and so Stone Cold Jones is the one to keep, as he is the best defensive tackle in the NFL. He is the best. Aaron Donald is old. It's time for Jones 316.
News break. Chris Jones is old, too.
Was he 31?
Yeah.
So I think when we look at the offseason and receivers, because this has been one of the first off seasons, I think, in Veach's time that I can remember where things have started to really kind of go the way that a lot of us had expected. I think a lot of people kind of saw coming the L'Jarius Sneed getting the franchise tag. I thought a lot of people thought maybe they would negotiate with Chris Jones a little bit more closely than we saw in last year. And I think wide receiver one is going to be addressed as well because it was, well, one of the main problems. The only thing that I think might be different is that what if the Chiefs were to zag while everyone zigs, or zigs while everyone zags, however the saying goes. Instead of maybe possibly going and getting a wide receiver one, like a Mike Evans, which I think is dream sheet number one, maybe do it a little bit differently. And this was James Palmer with Brett Veach and his approach to attack the wide receiver class differently this offseason.
It's fascinating because I remember sitting at this combine last year and talking to Brett Veach going, Kadarius Toney is going to be our number one. We're very confident in that. He hasn't been used in the way we want to use him in the past. That's what we're moving forward with. And you look at the struggles they had at the receiver position throughout the course of the season. Obviously, Rashee Rice, the rookie, ends up getting much, much more improved as the season goes on. But look for them to have a little bit different approach this offseason in terms of free agency, looking at wide receivers, my understanding, looking at them in the draft as well. They obviously have two big names in free agency coming up in L'Jarius Sneed and Chris Jones they need to take care of. But the receiver spot, I will say, will have a little bit different approach.
So the receiver spot has a different approach, however you want to look at it. I think a good strategy for the Chiefs is why not, and this is me, if you can't go get the wide receiver one, right? If getting a Michael Pittman Jr. is going to cost way too much money, if getting a Mike Evans doesn't make sense, if the Cincinnati Bengals are just going to be petty and every time you offer T. Higgins a contract, they go, you know, $1 million higher, then maybe there's a different approach to go about this. Why not just load up on potential number one, but number two wide receivers? And what I mean by that is maybe you're not going to get a T. Higgins, a Michael Pittman Jr., a Mike Evans. But why not go get a Curtis Samuel? You have Rashee Rice, a proven person. And maybe I'm wrong in 2 years from now and Rashee Rice is a legitimate stud wide receiver one. He is that guy. I don't know. I don't see his role being that. Now, if he would have played a whole year this year on this roster, it would have been interesting to see what his numbers would have been. They probably would have reflected a wide receiver one. And I know he played all year, but I'm saying his expanded role in the playbook all year instead of starting at week 12 and going on through the season. Because Curtis Samuel last year played in 16 games. He had 62 receptions for 613 yards. That's a 9.9 averaging and 4 touchdowns. I know that's not a Mike Evans who had 79 for 1255 and 13, good for 15.9 yards per reception. But if you were to load this team up with three legitimate wide receiver twos that are all legit wide receiver twos that could borderly line be a wide receiver one, this team could be extremely dangerous. Like, imagine if you had a Rashee Rice, a Juju Smith-Schuster, and another wide receiver two, because Juju was never a wide receiver one. He wasn't in Pittsburgh. He kind of was in Kansas City, but was still kind of used as a wide receiver two. But man, you put a guy like, I don't know, a Curtis Samuel and a DJ Shark and a Rashee Rice and a Travis Kelce with an Isaiah Pacheco in the backfield with Patrick Mahomes, man, you could have a lot of fun in that offense. New England, they didn't really have a legitimate wide receiver one. They had a Wes Welker or a Julian Edelman, but they ran with two legitimate tight ends at that time, was Aaron Hernandez and Rob Gronkowski. Now, obviously, that ended short because one of the guys was, well, a mess. But it was a really effective, innovative offense that really no one had seen before. And with the wide receiver one market being an anomaly of the NFL right now with how much money they're making and how much money it's going to get even higher, if you are going to give a guy like Chris Jones a lot of money, and you are going to try to save the bank for guys like Karlaftis and McDuffie when their contracts come up in a few short years, maybe you can roll the dice. And you can tell yourself, you know what? We don't have a legitimate wide receiver one per textbook of the NFL. But we got Curtis Samuel, Rashee Rice, and DJ Shark. I mean, DJ Shark last year, 35 catches, 525, 5 touchdowns. Played in 15 games. Played with Carolina. Had a rookie quarterback. Still had decent numbers when they were throwing the ball to Adam Thielen 15 times a game. I just think that sort of strategy could kind of band-aid the relief if you don't go get your wish list, right? This is 1999. You want a PlayStation 2? Maybe you don't get a PlayStation 2, but you get a new basketball, you get a new football, and you get a Game Boy. Pretty sweet. Keeps you entertained. You have a lot of fun. You might not have the PS2 that your buddy Josh has. You could still go over there and hang out with him, but you've got other stuff to keep you entertained all throughout your day. You run with three wide receiver twos, run that zone sort of offense the Chiefs run, and then all of a sudden it's just a mess for a defense. That's just a strategy I think the Chiefs could take.
What I'm hearing is tag and trade L'Jarius Sneed and get a Kyle Pitts.
I mean, that'd be nice.
That's what I'm hearing.
I mean, Atlanta's interested in L'Jarius Sneed. You run Kyle Pitts in this offense with Travis Kelce, look out.
It's a different approach too, you know?
And I'm pretty sure Kyle Pitts has a contract coming up after this year. So you'd basically get a year to go for the three-peat, run that two tight end system, and see what you can get. Then, who knows in that sort of future?
And he hasn't really performed with, well, they haven't really used him correctly, but you know, you might be able to lowball him.
Because there is a ton of receivers in here that make sense for the Chiefs. And one of them that I think where you can look at this, because the advantage that you have when it comes to a wide receiver one is that you, now look, you need more support than Kadarius, Tony, Sky Moore, MVS. We know that. Those guys are wide receiver threes, wide receiver fours, maybe not on a roster in 3 years from now. But man, there are names in this free agency class that some people might look away from because they're not Mike Evans. They're not Michael Pittman Jr. Like a Rashid Shaheed from New Orleans, right? What a mess of an offense that was this year. Still produced 46 grabs and 719 yards and 5 touchdowns and is a deep threat. Or maybe some people have the, you know, negative opinion in their head, that's just MVS all over again. I don't know, is he? He's younger. He's 25 years old. KJ Osborne, another one, 48 catches, 540 yards, 3 touchdowns. You mix and match those types of big body receivers that Mahomes tends to like more, like a Sammy Watkins, a Juju Smith-Schuster, a Rashee Rice, right? Like Tyreek Hill was great to have in this offense. It's a once-in-a-lifetime wide receiver. But you didn't have to pay him. That's the different side of it. But, man, you throw in like a Rashid Shaheed, a Curtis Samuel and a Rashee Rice with a Travis Kelce and an Isaiah Pacheco and a Patrick Mahomes offense, that's a hell of a lot better than a Sky Moore, MVS, Kadarius Toney, Rashee Rice. Because guess what? The truth of the fact of the matter is, and the reality of it is, everybody in the league knows who Rashee Rice is now. Everybody's got video. Everybody's got tendencies. Now it's up for him to take the next step. And it makes it a lot easier to make the next step if there's other guys with his level of play, if not a little bit better at the time because of their careers, that could do it a little bit more or kind of be on that same playing field. And then Mahomes just sits back and goes, okay, I've got three wide receiver twos. I don't necessarily need the big stud wide receiver one. Is it a wish list? Is it a want? For sure it is. Is it a possibility? Maybe. Is it a reality? We'll see. Because when you tag players, you're seeing it with L'Jarius Sneed. If a team offers L'Jarius Sneed a contract, the Chiefs have a chance to come back and give him a counteroffer. Or they say no thanks, and they walk. time will tell. The wide receiver market is still there. But coming up on the other side, I want to talk a little bit about Are You Ready? Not the DX song, but Are You Ready? For the next step of what is Hollywood in Kansas City, because it's only going to get bigger because there's too much going on already. I hope you didn't think that it was the top of the pyramid right now, because there's two guys that are just going to get bigger and more noticeable throughout the next season. I'm Dusty Likens. That's Julio Sanchez. This program is called After Hours. You can hear it on 610 Sports Radio.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
For those of you that tagged along with my Caitlin Clark triple-double plus 350 last night, congratulations. You've got a little bit of coin in your pocket if you'd like to tag me again for another parlay. It's a little three-legger tonight. Coming straight out of Los Angeles. LeBron James over 25.5, Austin Reeves over 1.5 threes, and Kyle Kuzma over 2.5 threes. That'll sit you right at plus 600. And y'all gonna see that the hottest out there was, is, and I put $10 on it to win 60.
I feel like that 1.5 for Austin Reeves is a gimme.
I hope little Nicky can hit it.
Little Nicky, huh?
That's what he reminds
what
me of.
What we're doing here, huh?
That's what he looks like.
What we're doing. All right, that was a terrible movie, by the way.
You didn't like it?
Oh, I can't. You know what?
I mean, is there an actual good Adam Sandler movie? Or were we just young and thought it was funny? Because, like, if you go back and watch Adam Sandler movies today, you ain't laughing.
Oh, that's not true. I mean, Waterboy was good.
Happy Gilmore, Billy Madison are the two that stand alone.
I'd throw Waterboy in there. But the rest, I mean, he plays the same character in every movie.
And he's always a badass athlete. Like, he's always great at every sport.
Either that or he plays like... How do I PC put this? Like
click, somebody says, eh.
Yeah, he's overrated, man. I'm sorry.
50 First Dates, eh.
Like, that Hubie Halloween movie was just the worst.
Although I thought, what was the gem movie called on Netflix?
Uncut Gems?
That was good. I thought that was good because it was like a dramatic role.
But he it's still, like, his character still comes off as the way he talks.
Just Go With It, I thought was funny, but it wasn't a good movie. It was just like a good, yeah, it was like a feel good. Yeah.
It was entertaining.
Yeah. Billy Madison and Happy Gilmore are fantastic.
Can't believe you're not throwing Waterboy in there, but
it's good. Fine. It's fine.
It's more than fine, but it's okay.
The Wedding Singer's great.
Wedding Singer is solid as well. I would agree.
Somebody says from the 913, no blanking way you can put Waterboy with Happy Gilmore and Billy Madison. Thank you.
It's second tier. I will give you that, but it is still a great class. It's a classic.
The Wedding Singer's great. John
put
Lovitz.
It there with The Wedding Singer.
Oh, sophisticated mama. I don't know. It's just, I think we were, and I've been using this phrase a lot, prisoner of the moment of Adam Sandler. Right? Like, we were kids, at least we were, when those movies were getting pumped out.
Yeah, but...
Like, Big Daddy was great because it was like, oh, yeah, they're making fun of this, like, you know, foreign delivery guy. Oh, yeah, these two guys are, you know, in a relationship. We're making fun of it. Is that the guy with the old boss? Like, eh.
Yeah, but at the time, it was. I mean, it had its heyday. Is it... Would it fit into today's society and be as entertaining? No.
Somebody says the Adam Sandler basketball movie. Yeah, it's all right. It wasn't like... It was decent. But I'm saying, like, good movie. The other one I think of, too, Will Smith. And that gets me a lot of hate.
Yeah, I don't know about that one, man. He's got some bangers.
He's
some
got about
true four.
True
blockbuster
he's
hits,
got
man.
About four. Ali was great. Men in Black 1 was great. Bad Boys 1 was great.
Independence Day?
Eh.
Eh. Eh. Oh, come on. Come on.
Didn't I promise you fireworks?
I loved I Am Legend. It's always rewatchable.
What's
Hitch?
The one?
I mean, come on.
No.
You got what?
No.
Oh, you're just being a hater now.
I don't know. Maybe Kevin James ruined that movie for me. I'm not a huge Kevin James guy. But I'm in a good mood. I don't want to think I'm in a grouchy mood tonight.
You sound
I'm not trying to be.
You're feeling a little shady tonight.
I'm not trying to be.
I'm
in a really good mood. I'm $70 richer after last night. For those of you that tagged along, I'm so proud of you. You didn't have to, but if you did, thank you.
Makes up for that last Caitlin Clark bet you lost.
I want to talk about Travis Kelce and maybe not that top text line, because I don't know if what's going on with that. If you read that for word, I'm not sure that's that. I don't know if that's real. I do want to bring up Kelce and Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs, because there's a lot that goes into a three-peat. And we kind of, I think with the three-peat comes another level of stardom, another level of anticipation, and more cameras and more lights for the Kansas City Chiefs. And today it was announced on Twitter that Gillette and others are putting multi-million dollar offers to Travis Kelce after they've won another Super Bowl. Toyota is in talks with Kelce for a four-year deal worth $1.5 million per year, along with a $2 million signing bonus. Calvin Klein and the luggage company Samsonite have also made massive offers. If there's one thing I noticed this year, every time I watched a football game, every other commercial was Mahomes or Kelce. They just won back-to-back Super Bowls. Travis Kelce's dating probably the most popular pop star in the entire world. And Patrick Mahomes is and will be the face of football for the next 10 years. And the football world is such a big business and such a huge money grab. Like, you thought $30 million more in salary cap was big this year? Let's have a conversation in 2 years if I'm still doing this. The money number will go even higher because football is making so much money. They're now going to play in Germany, Brazil, Mexico, London, the United States. The first week of football is going to be played on Thursday, Friday, Sunday, Monday. This next season. And when you're the best in the biggest business of sports, and you have two personalities like these two, that in my mind are polar opposites, plus a head coach who's kind of funny when you put the camera on him, you're going to get more recognition, you're going to get more offers, and you're not only going to get offers from small things, you're going to get some offers from big companies. Toyota, Calvin Klein. You thought Lip from Shameless looked good in undies in a commercial? Why do they put Travis Kelce in some skin-tight skibs on a commercial and everybody loses their mind? Wait until the State Farm commercials advance even further with Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. And there's more of them, more than just, how about those Nuggies and Otto and Mahomes? Get ready, Kansas City, because you thought the tip of the iceberg or the tip of the pyramid or the top of the mountain this year was Hollywood? Oh, just you wait. Oh, just you wait till next year, because next year it's going to get even bigger. And you know what thing I haven't even mentioned yet? I don't know where Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift's relationship is going to be. Can you imagine what it would be like next year if they're still together?
You're going to be married by then.
Oh, boy. You better pump the brakes. That's a bold take. Coming up on the other side, I'm going to make another bold take that maybe some of you aren't going to like. But the number one story in college basketball isn't D1 men's basketball. It's something much different. That's Julio Sanchez. I'm Dusty Likens. This is After Hours. You're listening to 610 Sports Radio.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
Go by the name of Lupe Fiasco, representing that first and 15. Yeah,
Lupe.
And this one right here.
Back here on After Hours, only an hour left. That was a really fast hour.
You know what happens when you like to talk?
Yeah, sometimes. Somebody mentions another name of actors that maybe Will Ferrell.
I have to agree. That's.
What do we got? Anchorman, Elf, Old School. There's one we're missing that's obvious. Old School, Anchorman, Elf. We're missing a Will Ferrell movie that's actually pretty good.
Yeah, but I feel like
I liked him better when he wasn't the lead.
Yeah, I feel like he's another one where he's like more misses than hits. You know, when he hits, they're amazing. But I mean, things like Holmes and Watson, like those movies just don't do it for me.
The Other Guys wasn't a fan.
I thought it was all right.
He was great on Saturday Night Live. So was Adam Sandler. Small roles. From the 417, hey, this is Kelly, and I so appreciate you talking about the Chiefs. It wants me to take my panties off. I want to listen to you all the time as long as you talk about football and not baseball or other sports. Go freaking Chiefs. That's a real text.
Sports horny.
I don't know. That's just a real text.
Talladega Nights was good.
Oh, Step Brothers is good. Talladega Nights is good.
Yeah.
Somebody then says, sorry about the text before. Too many Miller Lights for Kelly.
Don't be sorry. Don't be sorry.
Are we sure that's Kelly?
Or is somebody playing a prank on Kelly?
Yeah, Kelly can be a girl or a boy's name.
That is true.
You know, it goes both ways.
Coming up in about 4 minutes, we'll do the Out of Left Field question, the one that we always love to do every night at 8 o'clock. Before we do that, a little appreciation. I think the number one story in college basketball this year doesn't involve a men's Division I team. I think it's Caitlin Clark. And you can hate me all you want. You can say that I'm, you know, in this moment of, yeah, you just won a good amount of money off Caitlin Clark last night. That's not the case. And I was telling a buddy of mine today at work, and he's got a young daughter who's pretty athletic, who wants to play every sport imaginable. And I said, hey, man, you should really have your daughter watch Caitlin Clark in this run. Because if you missed it, she went to her social medias and announced that this will be her last year of collegiate sports. She could have came back next year. This will be her last year. And some people in the bullpen earlier today were saying, do you think that's smart of her to do? Yeah. I think she's gotten to a point of fame and success where I think she's got enough good people in her ear telling her that she'll be just fine. And I know that there's a lot of people out there that think, oh, well, she can make more NIL money than she will in a WNBA contract, maybe. But you've got to think that she's probably going to get more high-up endorsements, Nike and whatever. But before you think about all of that, she's 17 points away from breaking Pistol Pete Maravich's record in college basketball for most points scored. She just surpassed the all-time record at Iowa last night en route to a triple-double where I believe they won 105 to like 64. Or something, it was like 102 to like 60. It was a blowout against Minnesota. And she had, I believe, 35, 10, and 11. Or something along those lines. She's special, man. And you don't get special stories like this all the time. And I remember when I was a kid, my dad would have me watch Jackie Stiles. For those of you that remember her, props to you. She played at Missouri State, or I believe at the time it was SMS. I had family in Springfield and was lucky enough to be able to go watch her live in one game, and it was special. She was great. Took her team, I believe, to the Final Four, maybe the national championship. I was young, don't remember, probably should have done a little bit more research, but I know she got to a Final Four. And Caitlin Clark is one of those special athletes. Because we can talk right now, who do you think is the favorite to win the national championship for the men's double Division I NCAA tournament? Julio knew it. It's UConn. Followed by Purdue. Tennessee's up there for you that are KU fans. That's plus 2,800 right now. But the storyline in Division I basketball this year will be Caitlin Clark, number 6 Iowa women. Going to make history. Trying to get to that level. Can she do it? Last year, we were introduced to it. And for those of you that are Iowa people for life, like Josh Klingler, you saw this coming. And last year, when Caitlin Clark started to make her presence felt, we all kind of turned to the TV as a second option if she played. And it was kind of an afterthought. I think it might be the opposite this year because Division I college basketball on the men's side is such a mess. I couldn't tell you who I think is going to win it. Couldn't even tell you how it would fill out a bracket this year. A lot of whiteout, a lot of erasing going on. But boy, is Caitlin Clark fun to watch. Last night, she was pulling up from the logo and hitting threes. Text line comes in from the 785. Did you guys see the video from last night of her teammates trying to hit a shot from Clark's spot on the court? Then Clark comes up and just swishes it. She's kind of got that Mahomes-type superstar power within the system that she's in right now in Division I basketball for women's basketball. She's far and away the best player on the court. She's far and away a badass athlete. And she's doing things that no one else has seen or done. So take some time and watch it. Enjoy it. You don't see this sort of thing happen a lot. Right? Like Diana Taurasi was great, but she kind of was a mean person. Right? Sue Bird was great, but not a lot of people remember because there wasn't a lot of television to watch Sue Bird. Caitlin Clark at Iowa is the story in Division I basketball this year. And will be throughout the tournament. Hopefully they make a deep run. And hopefully there's a couple of those special games where you're watching it and you'll see Twitter take over. Caitlin Clark, all this. You'll see people, superstar athletes tweeting, built different, just different. I've seen Carrington tweet about Caitlin Clark, just different, not the same. Different world than what you live in, Caitlin Clark. And boy, are we getting a time to watch it again. As this will be her last year doing it. This is her swan song. She announced it today on Instagram that she will be going to the WNBA next year. Good for her. We do it every night at 8 o'clock. We do the out of left field question. This question tonight, what would you do if you could become invisible for a day? And since I'm being kind and since I'm being fun, you get to choose the day. It doesn't have to be tomorrow. It doesn't have to just be a random day. But what would you do if you could become invisible for a day? 913-586-7610. That's the Jay Southland Tow Service text line. That's how you answer the out of left field question. That out of left field question is, what would you do if you could become invisible for a day? 913-586-7610. Julio Sanchez, Dusty Likens, 610 Sports Radio, and this is After Hours.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.